Podcaster. Next A Dialog, das Architekturgespräch.
Dear listeners, this is the first podcast of a new series where Topos Magazine, the international review of landscape architecture and urban design, meets the research and transfer initiative Urbanes Land. The format supports the researcher's purpose to link public interest in manifold expressions of urban phenomena to new ways of professional reporting. This podcast focuses on the experiment and its governance. The German-American urbanist Mark Kammerbauer spoke with Susanne Potier, the leader of the Urban Future Studio project Experimenting with Cities at the University of Utrecht. They talked about the potentials of experimentation for urban development projects and how they can be operationalized within governance constellations aimed at addressing current and future urban challenges. Starting from the urban perspective, there is so much we can learn from Susanne's approach to transform peripheries, to reinterpret existing urban and rural patterns as urbanes Land.
Susanne Potier, hello to you. If you would like to please briefly introduce yourself to the listeners of Topos Magazine.
Yeah, well, so I'm Susanne. I'm a researcher from the Netherlands. I work at Utrecht University, and particularly at an institute called the Urban Future Studio, which is a small institute, and it works transdisciplinary. So it's not completely or only research-oriented, but it actually tries to be very closely related to policy practice, work together with policymakers as well, and also be very closely related to the world of art, design, everything that has to do with imagination, and then also work with people who are working in that as well.
Well, that's a very interesting mix. Can you tell us a little bit of what you're working on right now at the moment and what partners you're collaborating with and what you're working on together with Urbanes Land, for instance?
Yeah. Well, my topic, my research interest in general is governance and mainly how new forms of governance are emerging and also how we can innovate the way we do governance. And particularly a topic that I have been involved in is looking at experimentation. I think, well, at least in the Netherlands, but actually all around Europe, all around the world, you see this emergence of a new appreciation of experiments. So, for instance, in the form of living labs or in the form of urban labs, all sorts of names that are in the rotation for this. And you see that, like, all sorts of actors, societal actors, so not only policymakers, but also, for instance, social designers or entrepreneurs or citizens, and often also in collaboration with each other, they want to experiment more. They want to try things out. They want to try things out in practice rather than start with a plan. And my work is really focusing on investigating the potential of experimentation and also think about how that can be made into a form of governance.
Okay, I see. Well, experimentation sounds like a lot of fun. And I would assume that it's also serving a purpose to address urban challenges. So in that regard, in your view, what are the most relevant urban challenges of the present?
Yeah, well, of course, we're having this conversation in Corona time. So that's very hard to dismiss, you know. That's a very obvious, immediate, and completely gigantic challenge to which we lack immediate solutions, and where we, like, all around the world, people need to improvise. That's where experimentation automatically comes in, and you also see that happening right now, that policymakers are forced to try things out and to see things incrementally, to try things out one step at a time and then move forward each week. But then, of course, there are many challenges to which this applies. So, for instance, climate change is also a very obvious one, of course, also because, you know, we lack immediate solutions. We also still lack consensus on how to deal with this. And you see that in experimentation, there's an opportunity to find these things out, all these dilemmas, in concrete practices.
Explain to me how you understand experimental governance. There's urban governance, there's environmental governance, there's risk governance, and then there are folks that say it's a topic of planning, and it's also a facilitator of planning. So I would like to know a little bit more about your understanding of governance.
Yeah, well, I would say experimental governance is in a way a systematic approach to experimentation.
Right.
I would say experimentation is really about, in the simplest form, is really about trying things out. And of course, you can experiment in all sorts of ways in all sorts of fields. But when it comes to the public domain, it becomes really important that if you experiment, that you do it in a systematic way. And that is really the point I want to make about experimental governance, is that, you know, even though we're in this current emergence of all sorts of living labs and experiments and like small initiatives, small local initiatives that are popping up everywhere, if we want to take it seriously as a form of governance, we need to think about how to systematize this. And systematizing means seeing the relations between the individual parts. And the individual parts are the multiple experiments because, you know, for instance, I gave an example of a circular experiment. But of course, there in the Netherlands, in Europe, in Germany, there are many examples of circular experiments. So how do they actually relate to each other? And then next to that, a very important group of actors in the system are, of course, also the more regular governance actors that might not experiment themselves directly, but do have a very large influence in the way that experiments can function. So that is mainly my view on experimental governance, is that it's a way to think about a systematic approach to experimentation in the public domain.
Understood. My next question was about the if there's something specific about these governance configurations that you described. And now that you explained it a little bit, I was wondering whether the fact that some actors have an understanding of the experiment as something they want to do and others may not, is that specific to these governance constellations?
So you're pointing towards the fact that people can disagree about whether an experiment is a good idea or whether they're...
Well, perhaps that. That's a very good point. But maybe also if you're not used to experimenting and you don't have a real understanding of what it can possibly be. I mean, isn't that a definition of the experiment, that you don't yet know what shape it's going to take on?
Yeah.
So let's say a knowledge gap between the actors. Maybe that is more precise.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think you're making a very good point about what you actually see happening in practice, is that when it comes to experimentation in the public domain, it's not only experimentation on the substantive topic. So it's not only figuring out circular solutions, for instance, but it's also learning how to do this experimentation in the first place, how to actually work together with different actors in a more open way where a plan is not leading. It's also about being able to look for opportunities and to really consider problems of the particular practice rather than trying to find overall solutions. It's also really about learning how to learn, because, you know, really experimentation is about learning new solutions. But then how do you actually learn together? How does the social and also technical process of learning actually work? So you also always see two things happening in experimentation. It's always experimentation about the topic, and it's experimentation in the experimenting itself.
Does this also include managing expectations?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because, you know, one of the great values of of local experimentation is that often many different actors work together. So, of course, it always differs per case, but you often see that, you know, it's not just government or just citizens or just an entrepreneur. No, it's these actors working together, and then also many different actors, you know, also researchers, also designers. I mean, everyone who can have a role in the public domain. And I mean, this contributes great value to the practice because you have all these different disciplines and all these different interests and angles that can actually look at the problem and figure out, all these people together can figure out very creative solutions. But then again, it's also, of course, difficult because these people have different things that are important to them. They have to deal with different institutional realities. Often it's also very simple that, you know, they have different cultures of working and they really don't speak each other's languages. So there's all these different things at play that happen when different people meet each other. And this is where the social learning process really comes in.
Yeah, I really like this notion of being able to speak one's other language. And in that regard, perhaps one step before the collaborations already take place, what is, in your view, required to facilitate collaboration in order for it to happen, perhaps even to be institutionalized?
It starts out with an acknowledgement that, you know, you cannot do it alone. So, for instance, as a government, it starts with the recognition, if we want to solve problems in our city, we cannot do it alone. So it requires a certain open-mindedness. And that's not only for government, but also, for instance, for citizens, because you can also turn this around and say, okay, citizens might have very good ideas about what to do about their own neighborhood, for instance. But if they really want to get somewhere, they need to be able to work together with institutional partners. And that requires them sometimes to be open-minded about, you know, all these bureaucratic demands that then suddenly they need to deal with. So this open-mindedness to other people's roles, and that even though that role is different, but is still legitimate and it's still something you need to work with, I think that's a very important start.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Do you have a particular example you would like to describe?
Well, yeah. So one example that I really like, and actually in the publication I wrote, it's called Experimental Governance. It's actually the starting example, which is about an island in the Netherlands. And actually it's a very small community because there's only a couple of thousand people living on this island. The island is called Ameland. And on this island, the government, so that's the local government, they started out with the plan to make the island completely energy self-sufficient by this year, so 2020. And they realized from the get-go that if they want to achieve this, you know, they have to do this with the entire island, with everyone who has a stake there. And so from the get-go, they had this participative process where the islanders, so basically the citizens, but, you know, they're not only citizens, they're also the entrepreneurs of the island, the people, you know, who are involved in the local tourism there. But also, for instance, they involved the local energy company. And all these players, they were invited into this process where the key question was not how are we going to make this island energy self-sufficient, but the key question was, how are we going to make an island that actually has a more attractive future for us all. So the whole transition that they got to really was about how can we create this sustainable island, you know, as a tourist destination to which we can all profit. And for citizens, this really means, you know, profit in terms of, for instance, not only having to invest in sustainable energy forms for your house, but then also getting some return on investment through an energy corporation. So they're actually making money out of this energy transition. So it's a positive thing for them. But then also it's about really finding new, like creating this new image of the whole island that also attracts all sorts of new people. So for instance, because they've been doing so much on this sustainability, there's whole groups of policymakers and other people coming to the island. And then actually the islanders see that they're going to profit from this because these delegates that come there, they rent the bikes, they take the boat, they eat in the restaurants, they sleep in the hotel. And people actually see, okay, this is not some policy measure that is very far from my house. You know, that has nothing to do with me. No, this is actually something from which we as an island and me as a citizen, we can really profit from. And I think that the government that started this whole initiative saw that very clearly, that, you know, in order to include citizens, you really need to think about what is actually meaningful to them. And that's what they did here.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. And you also described how these measures are effective close to home. And if you think about what you just explained to me, not only on the local level or the Dutch level, but perhaps on the EU or European level, are there lessons to be learned that could be applied to other contexts, and how?
Well, here the challenge, of course, becomes because this the point you raise here is also about experimental governance as a form of multi-level governance. I would say that experimentation, in essence, when it comes to actual, you know, physical experiments, that's in a way a local practice, because it's really about trying things out in a particular context with particular actors and really see, you know, how can we solve a problem here on this place. But then that doesn't mean that it's only relevant in that locality. And actually, I think multi-level governance is crucial to experimental governance, because this is actually what creates the system. And Europe, of course, plays a very important role in this as well, because you can say, you know, it's about all levels. It's about the local level. It's about the national level. It's about the European level and how they are able to collaborate. So, for instance, on the European level, you have this policy. Well, it's actually not a policy, it's an initiative that's called the Urban Agenda for the EU. And this initiative is really meant to include cities and city governments in the realm of European policymaking, so that cities are also able to show what they're doing and what they actually need from Europe and from the EU to be able to do their work. And this is often also about experiments, because cities are ideal places to start these experiments. But then when they start an experiment, they often run into all these limitations that can sometimes come from the EU. When it comes to, for instance, a topic as waste management, this is very, very strict on the European level what you can and cannot do. This actually has a background, because this comes from a history where, you know, we had big, still big public health problems. And then the EU had a very important role in making sure that, you know, the way we deal with waste, the way we also deal with water, you know, is really regulated by very strict rules on how to keep everything hygienic, how to keep everything healthy for everyone. But now you see that, you know, a new topic comes into play, the circular economy. And then there's really this friction. And cities run into these problems, but, you know, they need a way to talk about, they need a way to be able to influence the European system to be able to change those regulations and to open up space for circular experimentation. And then this policy or this initiative of the Urban Agenda for the EU becomes very important, because all of a sudden there's this place where cities can actually have conversations with European actors, with national actors, and say, okay, we need these things to change in order to experiment. So that's an example of how on the European level, governance can really play an important role in experimentation on the local level.
So that also means that there's a real opportunity for a feedback loop where the knowledge gained in local initiatives can feed upwards to the higher levels of government up to the EU level.
Definitely. Yeah, and it's also ways. Yeah, it's a feedback loop. It's also, I would say, it's a two-way street because, you know, traditionally we've had this model of governance in a way where, you know, the instructions go downwards. So they start high up. Of course, for the EU, it's always been a little bit different, right? So, of course, the national level is still very important in the context of the EU. But the idea that local governments can actually talk back to other levels of government and say, hey, we really need this to change, or we need that to change, or we need more space to be able to try things out, that is really revolutionary. And you see that happening, for instance, in the Urban Agenda for the EU, that governance mechanisms are made up to be able to do this.
Great answers. I have a final question. The future, considering that in your institution, the word future is already in the name and plays an important role in your work, what is the future to you and how do you conceptualize it? And is the future perhaps a big experiment?
Well, the future is always a big experiment, I would say, because, you know, you cannot really plan on the future, right? We cannot we cannot foresee the future of our social life, of our economy, of our major issues like climate change, as if it were a weather forecast. Unfortunately, it's just not that simple. So this experimentation always happens, and so it will also happen in our future. But I think the big question is, are we able to make this into a deliberate strategy? Because, you know, you can stumble upon experimentation, you can muddle through, or you can make it into a strategy where you can actually have this really decentralized but still very wise system where all sorts of units collaborate with each other, where locally all sorts of actors collaborate with each other, where horizontally all these local units actually are in contact with each other and learn from each other's practices, and where on the multi-level governance level, governments are actually working together with each other and do this in a, like we said, in a two-way street with feedback loops. And if you think about that type of experimentation for the future, I think we can really make our the way that governments and the way that social actors in the public domain, try to solve solutions, solve problems. I think we can make that a lot wiser than we are doing right now.
Great answer. Thank you so much, Suzanne Potier, scholar of experimental governance. Thank you for the interview.
Yeah, no problem. It was my pleasure.
As we have heard in this podcast, experiments are becoming increasingly important to address questions of sustainable urban development after other conventional pathways have been exhausted. Experimentation provides a powerful context for testing new ideas. However, it depends on involved actors and their willingness to engage in experiments. Observing experimental governance offers room for comparison between cases, transferability of insights, and a framework to communicate its opportunities and outcomes on a sound scientific basis.